9, if you would, please. Psalm chapter 69. Somebody turn your phone off. I don't know who it is. I'm not looking. I don't want to know. Just turn your stinking phone off. It's church time. We're going to have some. We're going to have a little bit of preaching. I'll do more meddling than anything. And Psalm chapter 69. And I want you to find verse 5 and stand with me. Respect for the word of God. We might as well start in verse 1. Psalm 69 is a good psalm. I read a couple of verses every service before I preach. I read verses 5 and 6 to myself. And I make it my prayer to God. But Psalm chapter 69, the Bible says, verse 1, "Save me, O God, for the waters are come in unto my soul. I sink in deep mire where there is no standing. I am come into deep waters where the floods overflow me. I am weary of my crying. My throat is dried. Mine eyes fail while I wait for my God. They that hate me without a cause are more than the hairs of mine head. They that would destroy me, being mine enemies wrongfully, are mighty. Then I restored that which I took not away. O God, thou knowest my foolishness, and my sins are not hid from thee. Let not them that wait on thee, O Lord God of hosts, be ashamed for my sake. Let not those that seek thee be confounded for my sake, O God of Israel. Because for thy sake I have borne reproach, shame hath covered my face. I am become a stranger unto my brethren and an alien unto my mother's children. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up, and the reproaches of them that reproached thee are fallen upon me." Let's pray together. Father, we love you tonight. God, the word zeal and zealous and all of its different forms is used about, I want to say, 16 or 18 or 20 times in the Word of God. I should have wrote it down this afternoon as I was looking at it. God, we're supposed to be people that are supposed to be zealous for the Lord. And Father, I just pray you help us tonight. I pray you show us and help us and teach us. God, I don't have a sermon per se, but I've got a lot of things I want to say. And so, God, I pray that you just bless us and help us and push me off to the side and speak to me and through me. Set angels around my mind and on my lips and teeth and tongue and eyes and ears. And God, help me to think, see, hear, and then speak precisely and only, God, what you would have. And Father, tonight, would you also give your people ears to hear? Yes. Give them a heart to desire to be more like you. Father, would you increase? Would you give us zeal for you in Jesus' name? Amen. God bless you. You can have a seat. What the heck is that?
Ginger ale.
Ginger ale? I haven't drank a soda in 20 years. But thank you. It's ginger ale. I like ginger ale. It's one of the few things I will drink. For the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. I looked up the word zeal. It means passionate ardor in the pursuit of anything. Zeal is an eagerness of desire to accomplish or obtain some object. And it may be manifested either in favor of any person or thing or in opposition to any person or thing. It may be good or it may be bad. Zeal can go either way. If you're zealous, listen, somebody said that, and I looked up ardor. Ardor means this. It means great warmth of feeling, fervor, passion, intense devotion and eagerness, a burning heat. Noah Webster said that zeal is the blind conductor of the will. Zeal is always marked by great energy, an exertion, a strenuous action. Zeal is always marked by action. Somebody said, and I think it was me in a sermon a couple weeks ago, I was looking at some things, and I have figured out, I think, that you can have zeal without knowledge. You can have zeal and never do anything. You can be excited and never do anything. But when a person has zealous, when he's zealous for his God, there's zealousness, that is zeal in action. God wants us to take the excitement we have, the love we have for Him, the passion and the fervor and that burning heat inside, and use it like you did tonight. In testimonies, talking about getting people saved and place after place after place after place and person after person after person. Can I help you tonight? I'm going to say something and you're probably going to think I'm crazy, and I am. It'll be okay. I'm crazy about the Lord. It'll be all right. I'm a nut, but I'm screwed onto the right bolt. It's good. I was in 77 churches last year. 77. I was in church 262 days last year in church services. 262 days. The government thinks I'm an idiot. My family thinks I'm crazy. My friends think, where are you getting all this energy? I'll be honest with you, I don't know. I have a good God.
Amen.
And I have sat in service after service after service. And I haven't heard one service except tonight. I haven't heard one testimony service in all the churches I sat in where they talked about winning people to Christ. And then they have the audacity to complain about the church and things just aren't going good. And man, we just don't know what we're going to do. Maybe you ought to get up and do something. Just a passing thought, Brother Steve. You know what I'm saying? But they get mad at me, Jose, if I say that. If I say that to the pastor, I don't get invited back anymore. Even if I say it privately. Which I always say it privately. I don't tell people. Yeah, when I'm preaching, I do. They just I let the chips fall where they may, because they called me to preach and to tell them the truth, and I'm not harsh on anybody, but I believe in telling people the truth, and I believe in telling people the truth the way God tells me to tell them. I mean, I'm different from everybody else. I'm just kind of one of those in your face kind of guys. But something took place. I've been praying. Let me give you the background story before we show you the slides. Because I want to preach my message, but I want to show you the slides and preach my message, and I don't know how I want to do it. So let me give you some background information. God will lead me and tell me what He wants me to say and where He wants me to go. But I thought about this thought, for the zeal of thine house have eaten me up. Now the disciples, take your Bible and go to John chapter 2, I believe it is. Go to John chapter 2. Juan dos, for if you're Spanish. I don't know how to say it in Shona, but I do know how to say what I wanted to say this morning. What I wanted to say this evening is Maneru denufara kovapanu, which means good evening. It is my pleasure to be here. Amen. You say, why are you learning Shona and not Italian? Well, nobody taught me Italian, but I've got a Shona pastor willing to, I call him, and a voicemail said, tell me how to say this. Say it three times. Say it slowly. Of course, you know, they know the language. They just want to speak. I said, yo, bruh, slow down. He calls me his elder brother. And I'm the elder brother, and I call him my little brother. And in John chapter 2, verse 17, Well, verse 16 says this, and said unto them that sold doves, take these things hence, make not my father's house a house of merchandise. And his disciples remembered that it was written, the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. Jesus went into the church, into the temple, and they are in there begging and borrowing and selling and doing all kind of nonsense that doesn't belong in the house of God. I mean, God can provide. Now, I'm not saying you can't have a yard sale of somebody's house, but it ought not be coming to the church. No ragtag bag sale. You don't need that and all that nonsense. I believe that my God is a God that's able to provide your needs. He owns the cattle on a thousand hills. He can just sell something. Amen. I've got a God that owns it all. Look, I am not rich by any stretch of the imagination. I don't have any money. I will trade bills and paychecks with any person in this room right now. And I double dog ding dong dare you to figure out how my wife does it. I don't have no idea. All I know is this. If you'll have a love for God, if you'll have a desire to do something for God, if you'll start, listen, if you'll get into the Word of God and start to develop that, the Word of God, the Bible calls it, the Bible says that the Word of God is a fire and a hammer. Listen, it's a fire that'll start burning some of the junk away. It'll set some of the things that are right, all the things that are right in your life. It'll set, the Word of God will set your life on fire. That's what the word zeal is. It's a burning heat or fire. It's a fervor. It comes from the Word of God. But listen, it doesn't stop there. You get all fired up, and you know what you got to do? You got to do something with that fire. And you got to keep it alive, so you got to put some logs on the fire. You know how you do that? Hi, my name's Lou D. Philip Antonio. I'm just here from Revival, Scranton Revival Baptist. Is it Scranton Revival? It used to be just Revival Baptist Church. Did you change your name?
We did.
It's still Revival Baptist Church. I ain't into change. I'm just kidding. I'm from Scranton Revival Baptist Church, and I'm just here to tell you about Jesus. If you died right now, you know for sure you go to heaven, you got some doubt. Have some doubt. Listen, if you want to put some logs on your fire, bless God, you got to use the zeal that God's given you in your heart, that burning desire and love for Him. You got to take that love and you got to stoke it with labor, with work, with investing your life in what He's... Listen, He's called us to a lost and dying world. The labor is plenty. I mean, the work of... How's that verse go? Harvest is plenty, so the laborers are few. You know why the laborers are few? Because there's no zeal. And the disciples, when they saw Jesus and they saw Him turning over tables and just throwing Him a first-class glory to God, God fit in the house of God that's His, they went, hey, I remember reading this in Psalm chapter 69 where the Bible talks about the zeal of thine house hath eaten me up. While I was in Zimbabwe, Africa. I wanted to go to Africa since I was 12. I've never told anybody. It was just, I just kept it between me and God. I never told anybody. I made a mistake one time of telling my parents when I was like 15 years old before I got saved. And we were lost people. And my mom and dad, when I told them, I said, you know, I really would love to go to Africa. I'd love to live in Africa, but I'd love to go to Africa. And my dad said, oh, you stupid. Why do you want to go to Africa? Bunch of savages over there, lions eat you. I went, dude, it'd be so cool. I told my mom I wanted to go to Africa. I thought she was going to have a panic, a heart attack. I mean, she called me every crazy person. Anybody, any Italians in the room? You're married to one. Any Italians in the room?
Halfway?
Let me help you. My mother is 100% Sicilian, and my dad's 100% Italian. When a Sicilian hears something, they don't complain about it once. They complain about it until they get tired. And they never get tired. She yelled and screamed and complained and called me every kind of nut job. I'm talking about for weeks. Every time she see me, hey, don't even think about going to Africa. What are you, nuts? I'm talking about 2 weeks later, she's still yelling at me. But I've wanted to go since I was 12. I got saved at 16 years old. And then I really wanted to go to Africa to share the gospel like I had. Then God called me to preach it. 1980. I went to Bible college. He called me to preach in March. In September, I was in Bible college of 1980. And I still wanted to go to Africa. I took the missions courses at Hiles Anderson College. There was only one class. It was just every semester of Dr. Paulson. I took everything. I listened to everything he said. I learned everything he said. I wanted to be a missionary because I wanted to go to Africa. My wife and I got married, and I talked to her about our dream, my dream about going to Africa. She said, I'll go if that's where God tells you to go. I said, I don't know if God's telling me to go or not. I just want to go. You ever just want to do something? Is it okay to just want to go do something for God? Just want to? You don't have to listen. You just volunteer. I just wanted to go. I know you're looking at me like, huh? It's okay. Just look at me stupid. It'll be all right. I know. I look in the mirror. I look stupid sometimes too. I understand. And I know people don't understand, but I've wanted to go to Africa all these years. I've been in evangelism, and I've been starting churches, and I said, God, when can I go to Africa? I've never prayed this. Nobody's ever heard me pray this. Nobody has ever heard me pray, God, I want to go to Africa, except him. God, I want to go to Africa. God, I want to go to Africa. God, will you send me to Africa? He said, not yet. Which means, to me, you're going to get to go pretty soon. Isn't that what it means? He didn't say no. He just said, not yet. I went, good. I said, when? He goes, 2019. I came across, I was preaching in New York. I left here. I went to New York, out in Buffalo area, New York, the Amherst area, and I'm preaching for Dr. Mike Caesar. Dr. Mike Caesar is not only a doctor of Bible, he's got a degree, he's got a doctor's degree in the Word of God, but he has a medical doctor's degree. He's a retired medical doctor, independent, fundamental, narrow-minded, Bible-believing Christian, pastor of a church. He's a crazy man. He's 3 years older than I am, and I love him. He said, Lou, I got somebody I want you to meet. He and I fell in love with him 25 years ago. 2019, I'm preaching in his church. He goes, Lou, I got somebody I want you to meet. He said, I just came back from Africa last year. He said, you got to meet this guy. I went, you went to Africa? I said, you didn't tell me? I said, I thought we were friends. He said, would you want to go to Africa? I said, Doc, I'm going to tell you something I've never told anybody. I've wanted to go since I was 12. And he looked at me and said, how come you never said anything? I said, because God wouldn't give me any liberty, and I felt like I didn't know how to feel, so I never said anything. He said, I've got a guy I want you to meet. This guy calls me on the phone in 2019. His name is Pastor Doctor. He's a doctor he's got his doctor's degree in Bible. I don't. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a nurse. I'm just a patient. But but here I am. This is my 50th year of being saved. This is my 45th year of being clean, 1979. This is my 45th year of being clean, drug and alcohol free. Amen. By the way, I'm not a recovering. Amen. I am completely saved and recovered. Amen. I don't go walk around going, oh, I'm a recovering. That's an excuse for you to fall back. That's nonsense. You either get well or you don't. Good. Amen. You're welcome. You can take that any way you want, because I preach in RU places. I preach all over the place, and the directors get mad at me. Oh, you can't say that. I said, too late. I already did. And I give you a scripture to back it up. Anyway, I'm not a recovering sinner. I'm a saved, all my way to heaven sinner. All that's behind me. Amen. Now, I talked to a fellow named Rosert Sejena. It's spelled Sejinga, but it's Sejena. And he gets on the phone and he's got this deep, hello, my brother, how are you? And I can hardly understand it because he speaks broken English, very clear, but they speak that British English. It's perfect English. And I'm listening to him talk and I'm excited. It's 2019. He said, I think Dr. Caesar wanted me to talk to you. I said, yes. He said, he wants to bring you to Africa. I said, he didn't tell me. He goes, oh, maybe I shouldn't have said that. I said, it's okay. I'm going to call him when I get off the phone. He said, can you come next year? I said, I don't have any money. I said, so you pray because I want to come to Africa. I said, it's something I've always wanted to do. And I didn't tell him all that I'm telling you. I said, it's something I've always wanted to do. Something I'd be interested in if God would let me. He said, well, let's plan 2020. I get off the phone. I call Doc Caesar. I said, Doc. I said, Rosert just called me from Africa. From Zimbabwe. I get over there and say Zimbabwe, and they correct me. No, Pastor, Zimbabwe. 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 So it's Zimbabwe. And I'm over there. I'm planning. We buy tickets. Doc Caesar, I called Doc. I said, Doc. He goes, already bought you a ticket. He said, we're going in June of 2020. I said, don't buy me a ticket. I said, how long are you going? He said, I'm only going to go for like 5 days. I said, cancel my ticket because I'm going to go for 2 or 3 weeks. I said, I'm staying. He said, what? I said, dude, you're a pastor. You got to get back to your church. I'm an evangelist. I can do what I want. I said, cancel. He canceled the ticket, bought another one. He bought an open-end ticket. He paid for an open-end ticket. I could come back when I felt like it. He wrote the check for it. And everybody knows what happened in March of 2020 when the devil tried to shut the whole world down. And my dreams were crushed. I was so mad at God. I was so mad at the state and the president and everything. I was mad at everybody. I'm still mad. Because it was fake and it was wicked and it was vile. And I'm still upset. She said, "Preacher, you're going to get." People say, "Preacher, when are you going to get over this?" My wife says, "Honey, when are you going to?" I said, "I'm never going to get over it. Don't ask me to get over it." It's one of those things that just irks me still. Anyway, he's asked me to come in 2021 and 2022, and I talk to him once a month. "Brother, when are you coming?" I said, "Rosert, I can't come. I can't come." I finally told him in 2023, I said, "I will come. When is the best time to come in 2024? I said, "I'll be 50 years saved, 45 years clean, and 40 years in the ministry. And God gave me liberty." I said, when's the best month?" He said, "This come in May or June." He said, "It's our winter. It's a good time to come. And the schools are open. And man, we'll just have a good time preaching all over the place." And I said, "Brother, I don't have any money." I said, "But God told me I'm to come in May." I said, "So you get ready. I will be there in May." And I started preparing and I started calling people. I called a few people. And they looked at me like, "Are you out of your mind? Why would you want to go to Africa? Man, they got civil war over this country. They got that country over there. It's fighting that one over there." I said, "I'm going to Zimbabwe and I'm going to South Africa." I said, "I'm going to go to Zimbabwe for 3 to 4 weeks. I said, "I'm going to win people to Christ." I said, "I got pastors begging me to come." I said, "I'm going to get to be able to teach like 100+ pastors and their churches and their..." I said, "I'm going to fulfill a dream." And they said, "What you dreaming about?" I said, "Nothing, never mind. You wouldn't understand." I don't want to tell people my dreams. I don't want people squashing them, people talking them. I don't want people messing with it. So I never told them. By the way, I don't tell a lot of people. I don't tell a lot of people much of anything. I don't even tell my wife some stuff. You say, "Why?" Because it's just between me and God. And when God opens the door, everybody will be on board, including her. "Well, I guess that didn't set too well, did it? You'll be okay. You'll be all right." Last time I checked, Paul didn't ask his wife anything. Amen. Just checking. I never saw the king of any of the lands ever asking his wife, "Honey, what do you think?" I'm not saying I'm the king, but... And I bought a plane ticket on my credit card. $4,000. And 24 hours after I got that ticket, one of my dear pastor friends that's been in Africa called me and said, "You're going to Africa, aren't you?" I said, "Yep." He said, "How much plane ticket?" I said, "Doesn't matter. I already bought it on my credit card." He said, "Okay. Our church is going to send you a check." I said, "Okay. Send me a check." 3 days later, Priority Mail, I get a $5,000 check from his church. And I put it on my credit card. And I went, "Fat boy's going to Africa now. And it's paid for." I called Rosert. It's 2:00 in the morning. I didn't realize it's 6 hours. That Zimbabwe's 6 hours ahead of us. Kenya's 7 hours ahead of us. I didn't realize that, but he's in Zimbabwe. I called him up. I said, "Bro," I said, he's on the phone. He goes, "Hello." I went, "Brother." I said, "I'm on my way to Africa. Somebody just bought me a ticket." He said, "Brother, praise the Lord." I said, "Man, I'm so stinking excited. We are actually going to lay eyes on each other." And I told him when it was. He goes, "How long are you staying?" I said, 3 weeks. I said, "I'm going to stay." And I said, I didn't buy an open-end ticket because it was way too much money. I said, but I bought one to stay 3 weeks, and then I'm going to leave there and go to South Africa because I got another the pastor that bought me the ticket, his son is in South Africa, and he wants me to come for a week. And I says, I'm going to be in Africa a month, but I'm going to be with you 3 weeks because my desire has been to go to the Z countries, Zimbabwe, Zaire, and Zambia. I was in Zimbabwe. I walked into to Zaire. I walked in, and the guards were looking at me. I said, hey, let me get my picture with y'all. They said, we can't have our picture taken with no pictures, no pictures. I said, dude, I'm from America, and I was in Zimbabwe, and I want to come to Zaire. I want to come to Zaire. Just come on. He goes, you take a picture of the sign and us in the background, but not our faces. I said, oh, whatever. I said, hey, nobody's going to see but church people where I'm living. And I wrote 20 letters. I think 20 letters. And I was talking with Roosevelt, and I said, I want to do this, and 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 I want to preach to as many people as I can. I said, I'm praying for 1,000 people to get saved. I said, I got people praying for 1,000 people to get saved. I said, can you help me? He goes, oh, yes. Oh, yes. I just want to show you what took place. In 5 days, I preached in 20 public schools and 2 churches. I'll tell you how many got saved when we're done. I got a few hundred pictures. I apologize. I don't know how long it's going to take. And we're going to stop and talk about some of them. Because some of them are going to make me cry, and you got to know why. Because I've got a zeal. Listen, we started a ministry. 2 weeks into this, I went to Rose Zert and I said, Brother, God's been on my heart. I said, I've got to come back to. I said, God, I was fasting and praying while I was there. People look, and my buddy and the pastor and his wife, Pastor, you must eat. I said, look, I'll be okay. I said, I've got to talk to God, and I got to make sure what he's telling me is right. I said, I don't want to miss this. I don't want to mess this up because I don't want to get my emotions tangled up in this. So I fasted and prayed, and Pillar Baptist Ministries, which is my ministry, and God's Hat, Acts 1:8. Well, under Pillar Baptist Ministries and God's Hat, now there's a ministry, and I'm in the process with all the paperwork. And I just simply entitled it, Zeal for Zimbabwe. And we're going to do some humanitarian projects through the local church, not white people. Not the Marungos. A Marungo is Shona for white man. I'm walking down the street. By the way, I have felt more uncomfortable in certain places in America than I've ever felt in Zimbabwe. I stepped off the airplane. You're 100 to 125 years in the past. There are ox pulled carts. There are donkey pulled carts. And then there's people with $200,000 cars driving down the road. Well, where'd that come from? There's not a lot of them. But we saw a couple, and I couldn't get the picture because he was like flying down the road. And we started a ministry, Zeal for Zimbabwe. And I told the pastor, I said, I've been wanting to come for 54 years. He started crying. He said, what? I said, I've been wanting to come to Africa for 54 years. When I got off the airplane, walked out with my luggage, he's standing there, him and another guy. I was going to say this black man and his black friend, but everybody's black in Africa except me. in Zimbabwe. I mean, they're just dark people. And I think we can just roll the slides. The first picture should be Rozert, Pastor Rozert. That's Bill, the guy I took with me. That Bill, before you take, that guy is a 100% liver transplant patient. He should have, no liver transplant patient has ever traveled outside of the boundaries of their country. I think he's the first. And he drove me crazy for a while, but that's Pastor Rozert Sejena. That's at the airport. That's after a 34-hour flight. I don't look too bad for 34 hours on an airplane and 2 hours sleep. All right, sis, just hit the button. That's us the first night. We're drinking coffee. Glory to God. I don't know where these are. We're in a market here. There's my hat. We're doing a human. This is a church service. They worship the Lord with tribal dance. It wasn't offensive. It was really sweet. But I mean, I wanted to show you, but I don't want to make people talk and talk bad, because then you get upset and you wouldn't like me. That right there, that is in the middle. You obviously know who I am. Alongside of me is Pastor Luke. His church, he came to visit us. Pastor Rozert, that's the head deacon of Pastor Rozert, head deacon and his wife. Pastor Luke, let me tell you a story about Pastor Luke. He's a young pastor. His wife died 2 years ago. In Zimbabwe, the tradition is the church and the house is in the wife's name. And when his wife died, his wicked family's in-laws came and took the church and threw him out of his house. He had to start all over again. So he came and he was part of the help. Just a great young man. All right, sis, I'm sorry. This is a humanitarian. We spent several hundred dollars. We did this 3 or 4 times. That right there, stop right there. Back up. So, thank you. I don't mean to order you. I'm sorry. On the right, my other right, your left. It's my right here, but it's your left. Everybody does this. When they're talking to people, when they're saying thank you, when they talk to you, all the men, they put their hand over their heart. It's a sign of respect. Americans ought to try that. Anyway, that's us giving stuff away. See that girl in the red? That girl in the red was in the church service. She speaks perfect English. She's a bank president. She was scared to death to talk to us because she said, they're white. She had never seen a white person. Never. She's about 32 years old. I forget her name, but I went to put my arm around her. She went, it doesn't come off. Look. And I rubbed it on her hand. I said, look, I promise it doesn't wipe off. And she started giggling and laughing. And all the kids, man, this is the first church service. This is all the kids wanted to be part. Hey, let me talk to Marungo. I want to take a picture with Marungo, the white guy. This is some of the teenagers. That's a couple of them are moms. This is, I don't know, a bunch of people. This is the first church service. This guy here, his name is Gift. I told him, Gift, you give me that suit jacket, I'll give you my hat. What he didn't know was I got another one just like it at the house. I said, Gift, you give me that suit jacket. I said, because that is a sweet suit jacket. I said, and I'll give you my hat. He goes, brother, I would love to do that. He said, why don't you just give me the hat? I went, I don't think so. He still texts me all the time. That's the three of us in the back of the, this is the back of the parsonage. And there's a little room all the way over here. And I'm in a little room. It's got running water. And occasionally the electricity's on, but just occasionally. And I'm barefooted like a hillbilly. We're grilling stuff. This is our first church service, our first school service. 717 children. That's Bill giving his testimony. That's a different. That's the same. That's a different school there. I don't. We have the video to that. That's a different school. There's 1,200 children in that school. We don't have the video to that, do we? No. Okay. We'll get to the video, and you get to hear them sing their song about Africa, the fatherland. This is just picture after picture. That school right there is a sugar cane run school. Sugar cane's number one selling thing over there. There's 1,600 people under those trees. 1,580 of them raised their hand and stood up. You just keep going. They gave me a kilo of pure sugar cane in that bag. That's the principal and the head man and the head lady. They're singing Africa, our fatherland, the land of the stuff. I mean, these people got rhythm.
And then they say it.
And they sing it. To the last line of kids. Every public school. I put one in there because I like it. This is a primary school. Primary students go to 7th grade, most of them. From 5 to 7th grade. That Baba is fatherland. I forget exactly what it means. We still got another minute. You can switch to the next one if you want to. That school right there, there's 480 kids in that school, and there's not a chair in the school. There's not a chair for the students. There's not a chair for the teachers, except for the ones they've found on the alongside the road and bought. That guy is a preacher. After I got done preaching, the whole school got saved. Amen. I mean, the whole school. Amen. Every person got saved. Amen. 5 of the 8 teachers got saved. Amen. And he said, "You stay here with me. I'll build you a house out there." I said, "You ain't got running water or electricity." He said, "You stay here with me and preach every day." Amen. He said, "We need you here." And if God would say I could, I would. This school had 1,400. That one there, 1,600 kids. There's 1,400 in front of me and 200 little ones behind me. It's just amazing. Look at all the kids raising their hand for salvation. How do you count that? I'm looking. I said, "Hold your hand up." And I made him. I just hold it. I'm looking through the crowd. Hey, that right here, this is the monkey school. There were 2 monkeys in the trees, 3. And they were fighting while I was preaching and throwing stuff at me. From the berries in the tree. That tree above there has some kind of nut or fruit up in it. And the one, I don't think he's in the picture. Bill took it. Bill standing behind me. There's 1,480 kids in this school, and the monkeys are playing and screaming and hollering, and they're used to it because they live there. the monkeys do. I'm preaching, and you know, I'm a little disturbed because I don't live around monkeys. And then they're throwing stuff, and I'm watching it hit the ground. And I give the invitation, Brother Matt, and a big nut hits me in the back. And I tell you what, I'm thinking the monkey just jumped out of the tree and he's on me. And I tried to contain myself, and I did pretty well. Bill's laughing behind me, and so's Rosertus. He's going, "Brother, it'll be okay." I said, "This is the craziest thing I've ever done." And those kids, I think six people in that whole school did not have their hand up. Then they wanted me to stay. Look at their faces. That's a National Geographic picture. I mean, where do you see? Look at their eyes. Shiny. Look at them. They're just beautiful people. That old guy on this school right here almost had a riot. This is the coolest school of all of them. I say, we had a great time. All those kids are all A students standing up. All A students. I took a picture with them in this congregation. There's two different pictures. That picture had about 800 kids. This picture has about 1,600 in the school. And he's giving his testimony. I come up and preach, and I give the invitation, and then Brother Rosert gives it in Shona. And you can keep spinning, sis. But all the principals, I got to witness all the principals, and all but two of them got saved. And these kids just wanted to, there's my little donkeys. And this is a senior high. This little school here, there was 890 kids, I think 890 or 980. And they'll kneel or sit for 30 or 40 minutes and not move. That respectful. These are just the teachers. I'm in the midst of, I just wanted to be in them. The one little boy, I put his hand on his head, he went, I said, "Brother, it doesn't come off." He went, "Huh?" Look, they just wanted to be close to Marungo. This is a school, they didn't want us to come. And then when we showed up, then we couldn't get out of there. Take pictures, talk to us, preach to us. I let Bill preach here. Everybody but two little girls got saved that I could see. And this was one of my favorite schools right here. This is a secondary school. See that little girl right there? That little girl right there is the head. She's the number one. She's going to be the valedictorian of her school. She's the number one girl in her school. Can't remember her name. I wrote it down. Their custom when they're thanked, see her here kneeling? When a lady hands you something, every lady that hands you something in Zimbabwe, every lady, they'll hand it to you and they'll go like this. But when they're little girls, they'll get on, well, the older ladies get on one knee. But the little girls will get on both knees. Now she's not a little girl, she's 17 years old. When she got on her knees, I didn't know what to think. And she's telling me in English, "Thank you for coming. Thank you for preaching to us." She got saved. And I started crying. I mean, I bust out in tears. I'm just crying. And she got up and hugged me. She goes, "It will be okay." All right, sis, thank you. That's the teachers. The red school. I hope I didn't get the wrong picture in there. I got a couple of kids in this little red school. They have no idea what. Look at that. That is a National Geographic picture. I'm going to send that in. Look at these kids. That was off my stupid phone. Praise the Lord. There I am in the middle. I'm living my dream. I think there's 1,800 kids at this school. They took a half an acre of ground. That's me in front of a what do they call it? Bilbob tree. It's called the tree of life. Some of them are hundreds and hundreds of years old. The fruit, the bark, everything on that tree is good for like 300 different things in your body, all natural. This is the pastor. That's the pastor. The right is the pastor and his and his wife, Miriam, with Bill and I. And this is his adopted, his the other girl was his adopted daughter. When you stop the car at some of these roadside, people start rushing you to sell you something. Ladies are just, they're just trying to make a buck. I mean, I bought a bag of oranges. I asked her, I stopped. I said, how much does that weigh? She went, 35 kilos. 35 times 2.2. Yeah, that's kind of heavy. These are anthills. Dude, they're like serious. And that, an anthill, you don't want to fall into that because those ants will come out. I mean, they literally can kill you. But the ladies that get pregnant will take a piece of that anthill and of the dirt of that anthill because it's got all the nutrition in it, and they'll take it home and they'll boil it and they'll strain all the dirt out of it and they'll drink the water because it's got some unbelievable nutrition for pregnant women. And I'm thinking, I ain't getting near one of them. I got a fascination with bilbob trees.
Good is just you drive once.
This is us. We are driving in the jungle to go to church.
But already a big shed.
40 kilometers off of the road to go to the church. 40 kilometers on through the jungle. Here we are. That's the toilet. 200 feet from the house. No lights, no nothing. There's no lights in this house, no lights in the church. It had one light. Yes, they did have a light in the church. And it was a torch in the back. And this we're in the jungle now in a place called Gokwe. Gokwe is a pothole with some tar on the road. And it's 40 kilometers, which is about 22 miles from nothing. I mean, wild elephants and zebras and lions, and we're having a preacher's meeting. They're killing a goat. Teenagers are killing a goat. All of those guys right there, but about four of them are preachers. That's me. Where I'm preaching under this gigantic tree. Been one of my dreams all of my life since I was 12, preaching under this tree, to preach under a tree in Africa. And this tree is gigantic. There was 400 of us there, and they're under this tree. Now, you can't see them because they straggled in. Day one was not, but day two, I mean, they were everywhere. Saturday, they were just like everywhere. And they like to dance. And I say dance. They dance it for the Lord. All the ladies, we want to take a picture with Marungo, the white boys. So there we are. And the little lady over to my left, she was an ornery little cuss. She said, Marungo, can you kneel? I said, not as good as you can. She goes, you're getting very old. I said, yeah, thank you. These are just some of the little kids that were just part of the church, part of the milling around. Now they're in the process of worshiping, and I didn't have any music because I didn't want anybody to get and say, oh, losing or letting them tribal dances on church. I don't care. It was sweet. It was real. These people love God. That's a ladder. Ain't no way in the world I'm putting this 200 pounds on that ladder. Yeah, look at it. We did the same humanitarian thing. That's one of two groups that we gave food to. And we gave, it's basically about $30 a person. And we did that to like 35 or 40 people, just trying to help them eat. That is, her name is, she was the manager of the motel. I walked in at 6 o'clock in the morning, we get there, 5 o'clock in the morning, we get there, and we woke her up. She came out with that smile on her face to do her job. You ever try to wake up somebody at a motel 5 o'clock in the morning to check in? I guarantee you she won't have a smile like that little girl did. I'm in Vic Falls, and we took a sunset boat tour. Saw a hippo. That's me and my elephant. I've wanted to do this for 54 years. Stop right there. The baby elephant, just born, he's only a couple months old. The trainer, my elephant was not the mother. My elephant was another one. I'm feeding my elephant, I get off. And the trainer of the people that was on there, they left, and the mother and her baby. And so the trainer says, come here. I said, well, this is my elephant. He goes, no, come here. So I walked across the path, and he gives me some food, and I'm feeding the elephant. As I'm feeding the mother elephant, I'm this close to the tusks. I mean, I'm close. And I'm petting her, and I looked her in the eye, got in front of her, and I'm petting her. And we're just having a good time. And the mother knows. The mother looked me in the eye, and she just knows. Lou's okay. As soon as she looked me in the eye and turned away, the baby came out. And the trainer went, step back, step back, step back. I said, why? He said, nobody touches a mother's baby elephant. I said, I haven't moved. He's touching me. He said, I've trained this mother for 6 years. She hasn't let me touch the baby yet. I said, because you're not me. I said, this has been part of my dream since I was 12, wanting to have a baby elephant want to touch me. It wrapped its trunk around my arm, wouldn't let me go. I'm petting this thing. I'm crying. I'm when I get emotional, some people cheer and holler, and I cry. It's okay. All right. That's the only time Rose touched the elephant or touched the lion. I wanted to touch a real live lion in Africa all of my life. He's 25 months old, male lion. His name is Simba. He's got two, and they're all three different.
Did you say Simba?
Now stop right there a second. He's 25 months old. An elephant is full grown, or excuse me, a lion is full grown at 4 years. He's 2 years and 1 month. And the girls, they're not sisters, they're just two different, they're all rescues. And the girls are 24 months old, and so this is going to be a very new, young pride of lions they're hoping to start. They're wild lions, and they're raised in the wild on a 2,000-acre patch of ground. They hunt and kill and do all kind of cool stuff. And I went, maybe you shouldn't have told me that. But Rose Zirk was so shook because he's been chased by a lion. And he said, so he petted the lion. He went like this. Okay, that's enough. And so I'm walking with the lion, me and Simba. It's just my boy. They said, don't get close to the face. And so I didn't, but I did. I didn't show you all the pictures. I went to over on that picture, that's me in Zambia, standing in Zambia. The guards got behind that truck over there. They want me to see. I went to a thing called the Boma. Boma, hang on, stop right there. Boma, the Boma is every tribal group in Zimbabwe, all 17 of them. It's all their foods, it's all their tribal dances, it's all their stuff. The pastor said, you got to go to the Boma. Everybody, if you want to learn about Zimbabwe, let's go to the Boma. It's a 2.5-hour show, and my buddy Bill was a sourpuss, and an hour later we left, and I told him, I ain't bringing you next year. This thing right here, and then we'll continue. Over here to your right, that is a Mopani worm. The Mopani worm is about 2 inches. They dry them, and then they put them in sauce and reconstitute them. You don't taste anything. But as soon as you eat one, you get a little yellow certificate with your name on it. And when I got that, because I ate one, and the pastor watched me eat, he goes, now you are Zimbabwe. I said, okay, if that's all it takes, I'm good. This is part of their tribal dances. I have music on my phone, but That's me standing, that's Victoria Falls, and that's me standing in front of the statue of David Livingston. David Livingston named Victoria Falls when he was a discoverer and a preacher and a Christian and a landscaper. I mean, he was an explorer. Okay, sis, I'm sorry. Victoria Falls is amazing. I mean, it's just, and this is dry season, drought season. Not only half of it was really running well, but it's gorgeous. It's one of the seven wonders of the world. My son said, "Dad, you're going to Zimbabwe. You got to see this. You got to see Vic Falls." I said, "I'm planning on it, son." And there's wildlife. We're in the jungle, walking through the jungle. I got a picture of that. I got a picture of one of them. What do you call them things? Baboons. Baboons are vicious. I mean, this close, and I'm thinking, I got to walk by this thing. This is an aerial view, because Bill said, "I've never been on a helicopter. You want to fly in a helicopter?" I said, "Never been on one." So I took shots. I got hundreds of them. These are just some of the shots. That's the Mopani worm, all dried out. Just in case you wanted to see what it was. Kind of nasty. This is the last church I preached at. Parkwood Baptist Church, I think it's called. Parktown Baptist Church. And they were having a special graduation service of all these ladies that have graduated some Christian program they were in. Stop right there. Half of them got saved. So I don't know what kind of Christian program they were in. These are my new children. That's Walter. That's his wife, Nasha, and their son, and I can't call his name. Do I have his name? Nasha and... Can you see that?
It says son.
Says son, okay. Nasha and son. Okay, I don't remember his name. But that's Walter and Nasha. We're at their house eating. This was the last night in Zimbabwe. He came and picked us up, and that's Bill and I at their table, and that's Daddy, Rosert. I want to see, it might be one more picture. No, go back. Please, right there. There's a custom, a tribal custom. After we got done eating, Rosert, the dad, looks at his daughter and says, "Nasha," and he points to me, "meet your father. Walter, meet your father." He told me what was going to happen. We couldn't get pictures of it because when you're hugging and crying, it's hard to take a picture. But Nasha has been with me for a couple of times, taking her shopping, and I just love her. She's just a sweetheart. But Rosert said, "Once I introduce you as father, they will treat you, you are now their family, and they will treat you like family forever." I got a happy Father's Day from Nasha. She texts me, and he texts me, and says, about once every week, "Father, how are you today?" That's my family. And we're going to work with them, and we're going to use them. She works for a Chinese mining company, which is ruining Zimbabwe. But she works for a Chinese mining company. She speaks English better than us. She speaks her native language, Shona, pristine, and she speaks two different varieties of Chinese. And she knows all the connections of all kind of stuff. So you pray, because this is going to sound weird, but we're scheming some stuff, because we need a funnel for money. We need a way to make some money so that I can help the Zimbabwe people. She knows how to do it. And Walter is a salesperson that has connections all over Africa. This is a match made in heaven. We're going to put some stuff. We're putting stuff together right now, and just please forgive me, but The water of life flows freely, but it costs for the plumbing. My trip cost me $11,000. Now, I raised most of it, but not all of it. I want to put up wells in communities through the church. I want to build a well and let the whole city come in, the town people come in, walk through the jungle with a 5-gallon jug on their head and get fresh water. I'm in the process. I got two guys that build wells right now and a brother-in-law that has connections over in South Africa. So we're working on some stuff. But that's my family. That's the last meal. She made some stuff there. I don't know what it was, but glory to God, it was good. All right. Now I'm going to be in South Africa. And this is a men's home. All but one of these men got saved. That's a Christian school I preached at over in South Africa. And that's me at the Indian Ocean, and I did put my feet in the water. I took my shoes and socks off, rolled my pants up. That's me in another home, preaching and teaching it there. And I took the pastor, that's Brother Adam Caesar and his wife Hannah and their children, and we took them out to this Ocean's something cafe and bought a real nice meal. That fella got saved after I preached, and then Bill preached and I gave the invitation. That old boy Derek got saved, and I mean he just followed us around to the car. That's a pastor's conference that the pastor sent me. He's at. That's a Jaguar that was literally from me to you, and that's the pastor's son who fell in love with my hat, Judah. He's not autistic. What do you call him? He might be a little autistic. But he loved my hat. Can I have your hat? Sure. Look. Rocco Mamas. You ever go to South Africa and you're hungering for American food, that's a triple-decker hamburger. That's a pound and a quarter of hamburger. And about a pound of fries and like a dozen hot chilies in there. I was sick for 36 hours. And I only ate a quarter of the hamburger. It was the people, listen, the chef that made it set it on the counter and pulled his phone out and was taking pictures of it. The chef that made it, and I'm looking, I said, Bill, look, the chef's taking pictures. He goes, must be a heck of a hamburger. Let me just tell you, it was good. But it ain't America good. I'm sorry. But it was tasty. That's the pastor and his family. And I think that's the last picture I put on there, maybe. I wore that jean shirt because even though it was 85 at nighttime, it went to 50. And I don't know about you, but old man, get cold. Is that the last picture we have? I think it is. Maybe. Is that it? I think that's it. Okay, that's it. So let me just make a couple comments and real quick because it's 8:45. Let me say tonight, when the Bible says, for the zeal of thine house has eaten me up. Let me ask you a question. What are you zealous about? What are you zealous about? What stokes your fire? Let me ask you a question. Does Jesus stoke your fire? When you think about who he is and what he is and all that he is and all that he's done in your life and for you, how he's answered every one of your prayers, does a thought of knowing Jesus excite you? Or is it? I tell you, some of us have forgotten. We have no zeal because we're ungrateful. We're ingrates. We have forgotten all that God has done. If you understood the pain of the cross, the cost for God to become man and bear your sin and mine on the cross, I think sometimes we've forgotten We've forgotten because we've not gotten in our Bibles. We've forgotten because we've not gotten in our prayer closet. We have forgotten because we've not searched the Scriptures and thought about and meditated and mused over the things of God. Are you overcome with zeal for the Lord? Are you overcome with zeal for the law of God? Listen, the book. The Bible says, seek ye out the book of the Lord and read. Listen, God wants us to get in the Word. We ought to have Christians. I'm going to try to quit. Christians need a zeal, not just for God, but for God's Bible. Is everybody's bottom numb? Because I know you're sitting in some of them hard pews and your bottom is numb, isn't it? Okay, everybody stand up a minute. I know, I've sat in that pew. Now, we need to be overcome with zeal for the Lord, for the law of God, and for the leading of the Spirit. Can I tell you something? What, Brother Slobotnik, when I got off the airplane and met Rozert face to face, and I hugged his neck, I didn't show that picture because nobody could take it. I hugged his neck, and I went, I'm home. I finally made it. A love for the leading of the Spirit of God. I've been waiting 54 years. I've been waiting on God to let me come for many, many, many years. You talk about going soul winning. Do you let the neighborhood lead you, or do you let the Spirit of God lead you to the place you need to go? Look, I understand you got to go up and down the streets, but you also got to be praying. Say, God, send me to the right house. Have the right person come to the door. Have the right person come out. God, I'm looking for your leading. Can I tell you what? You don't have to knock on every door. Sometimes you can walk down the street and see people. Hey, come here. I got something I want to tell you. Are you overwhelmed with zeal for a country and people, for a city and a county, for a creed and a calling? You see, my friends, tonight, I believe we need to be overcome. We need to have this zealousness in our heart and in our lives. I want to read a verse, and I'll quit after this verse, I think. And then I'll quit after one more. And I've got this horrible habit of not knowing when to shut up and sit down. The Bible says this, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared unto all men. This is Titus chapter 2 verse 11. Teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, and godly in this present world, looking for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us from all iniquity and purify unto himself a peculiar people. That means an extraordinary people, zealous of good works. God said you're supposed to be a people that are extraordinary, that are peculiar, that are just a little weird. Amen. And I don't mean weird in a bad sense. I mean where you're just a little bit different than everybody else. I don't want to be like everybody else. Amen. Most people are puke. They're boring. And they don't want to do anything. Here's the statistics in American churches. 15% of the people do 100% of the work. That means 85% of the people are sitting on their blessed assurance. That he would purify unto himself a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things, the things that he just said, speak and exhort and rebuke with all authority. Let no man despise thee. God said, you just tell them what I said. and let the chips fall where they may. Listen, folks, I love you. Scranton Revival Baptist Church is one of my favorite places to come. You're some of my favorite people in the whole world. I love you. I love Scranton. I don't know why, but I do. I love Scranton the very first time I showed up here. I remember pulling across the street, didn't know if I could pull in across. Matter of fact, you didn't own across the street when I pulled in here. I think maybe you did. I don't know. All I know is I pulled in there. I said, Pastor, can I park here? He goes, yeah, nobody will tell you. I said, that's a wonderful thought with a brand new car. I got out, walked across the street, had people beeping the horn at me, telling me I was number one for walking in front of them. And Randy Bloom started laughing. He goes, hey, welcome to Scranton. I had a guy blow the horn at me back in the motel. Because he pulled out in front of me and blowed the horn at me and rolled his window down. I said, and I rolled my window down. I said, don't stick your finger out of me, because I said, because this is not going to go well. He looked at me. Because I'm in the right of way. Anyway. I tried to keep my testimony. I did good. I was proud of myself. God said, you just tell him what I want you to know. I have purified unto myself a peculiar people. I want them to be different. I don't want them to be like everybody else. I want them to be zealous. I want them to be excited. But I want that zeal to be in action. Zealous. Zeal in action of good works. God said, this is what I've already paid for. This is what I expect. You know, when your daughter was sitting back there and you were sitting at the piano, I looked at your daughter and I went, I thought it was you. I went, oh, that's not a bad thing. As long as you don't look like your dad, you're good. Don't get upset, brother. God needs us to be zealous. God wants us to be zealous. God expects us to be zealous of good works. Are you? Is Bible reading a chore? Is Bible memory a chore? Is giving the Word of God out a chore? A drudgery? Oh, I gotta go so away. Or is it, woo! Let's do this thing! Could be like that if, and I'm done, I think. It could be like that if you get close to God. Let me just say this, and I believe people that are seeking God and trying to get close to Him, you don't have to yell. You don't have to shout. You can be like Brother Bob. But you know what? He's got a zeal for God. Brother Slobotnik, I've heard him get excited once or twice, but he just... Now, Brother Steve, he's a little different. He likes to get excited. Brother Eric is a little different. He likes to get excited. Brother Matt, he's like really different. He likes to get excited. Well, everybody's different. Shouting doesn't prove you're zealous. Shouting just proves you want to shout. And maybe you understand why you're shouting. Zealous is that burning desire inside to go do something for God. And zealousness is putting your zeal into action and doing it. Scranton Revival Baptist Church, please don't stop what you're doing and who you're doing it for. There's not a whole lot of churches. There are a bunch, but there's not a whole lot that are excited for soul winning like you are. 30, 40 years ago, they told Brother Bloom, you'll never start a soul-winning, independent, fundamental, Bible-believing Baptist church in Scranton. There's never been one, and there'll never be one. Looks like God proved them wrong.